Today's podcast is brought to you by my book, The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. The Sex Spiral will teach you God's design for sexuality, the triggers that lead to porn addiction, and how to exit the sex spiral with a purity plan for your life. You can order online at Amazon.com or any other retailer. Hey, thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy today's show. Welcome to the Dustin Daniels Show, a radio program dedicated to bridging the gap between pornography and the church pew. A radio broadcast devoted to exposing the lie that's in pornography and instead pursuing the purity that's in Jesus Christ. I am your host, a redeemed sex addict, and now pastor to those who truly want help understanding sexual sin, sexual brokenness. And this radio program really is about starting the uncomfortable conversation about porn. And after all, if you haven't noticed, we do have an epidemic. The latest statistics say 50 to 60% of Christian men are addicted to pornography. 20 to 30% of Christian women are also addicted to porn. And basically, at the end of the day, we just don't know who we are. We're confused. And I was certainly confused for 33 years of my life. And if you're confused, you're not alone, my friend, and we want to encourage you to visit sevenplaces.org. Spell out the number seven, S-E-V-E-N, sevenplaces.org. There's a free online community there, video blogs there, audio player with various teachings. You can also listen to my testimony on the website and also find out about local community groups that are happening around the country. So there's lots of information there. You are not alone. And today on the show, I want to welcome back Pastor Darian Bennett, men's ministry pastor of Scottsdale Bible Church. Darian, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me back.
We talked about how you, your testimony last week and the first 40 years of your life and how you grew up, your family life, your corporate life, and how you were just really didn't want anything to do with Christians. Your football career, karate instructor, corporate mogul type person, very successful.
I don't know if I was a mogul. A mongrel would be closer.
But you mentioned in the last few minutes of last week's show that you were, from the world's perspective, you were very successful, but you were also miserable. Can you say more on that?
Yeah, I think what happened, Dustin, is that I had reached a point where, and I was going through a divorce at the time, so pretty much I had two children. I loved them, but in one way, I was showing that I didn't love them by the way that I was living. The choices I was making were excluding them. I was doing other things in disregard of them, in a sense. And I didn't put them first, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So if I truly loved them, I would have been more compelled to do things that would be recognized by putting them first as opposed to last. Now, I've learned, being older now, there are a lot of men do that. And we do that because there's other things that are nagging at us that become more dominant than even our love for our own children. Mm. And this loneliness that we feel, the shame that we feel from past mistakes or not making, not fulfilling what we thought we were supposed to be or what we were going to do when we were younger, being rejected. Rejection is one of the biggest thing that causes problems, not only to a person physically and emotionally and psychologically, but certainly sexually.
Right.
So all of those things were working against me at the time, and I'm trying to find a way out of it. And here's what a normal person does when they're trying to find their way out of that dark hole. They end up going even deeper and darker.
Sure.
And that's what happened to me.
Try to fix a spiritual problem with all the physical stuff around us.
We don't even know that it's spiritual. We don't know that it's demonic. We just don't know that. So, you know, one of the things that the Bible teaches us is that we need to be brought into the light of the truth. And knowing the truth, that changes everything. That puts us in a position where we are no longer going to be held bondage to the lies. Jesus says, know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And,
Absolutely.
Of course, the truth, obviously, is his teaching. Matter of fact, he is the truth. And we have a popular saying that we have for the men at Scottsdale Bible on Tuesday night, and it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's John 14:6. And we say that that's what that means. Now, if you read it, it says Jesus, 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 but not quite that way. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. But if you say, who is the I am the truth, who's the I am, that's Jesus.
Absolutely.
And who is the way, that's Jesus. And who is the life, that's Jesus. So it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's what I had to learn, and that took a while.
So when Jesus changes everything, you just mentioned that. I'm wondering if you were as angry as I was growing up, just for no reason, just angry all of the time.
Yeah.
And that's the part of your football career and karate and just liking to inflict pain on people.
Yeah.
Were you as angry as I was?
I was. I was very angry. I was angry because I had not measured up to what my father, the expectations that he had of me. I was angry because I couldn't protect my mother when they would get in fights. It was just the whole picture of my own masculinity and my own self, who I was, and I just could not measure up. So I became more or less a daredevil. I could take a tremendous amount of pain, but I did that in order to show that I am tough.
Sure.
Inside, I'm an absolute mess, but I'm disguising it with all the tough stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, that served me well in terms of a football player. You have to be able to take pain.
Sure.
And you have to be able to dish it out as well, but you've got to be able to take it. And I could do both. When I went to IBM and I began working there, I didn't really change my personality. You can probably picture, oh, that must have been like a nightmare. In a lot of ways, it was for the people that I'm working with.
Right.
And but I succeeded by just basically running over people and working hard. I worked very hard. I was one of those guys that would work around the clock if that were necessary, and I would not think there was anything wrong with that.
So your identity is in the corporate world. It's your status at IBM. It's your title at IBM. It's in the alcohol. It's in the karate, being an instructor.
It's in the idea of being able to bench 425 pounds and deadlift 5 1/4 and ram my head through a door at a restaurant, headbutt guys and see their noses, just completely open up and that was my identity.
So now you meet Jesus at 42 years old, and he has prepared you to do what you've been doing for the past 20 years, 25 years.
Yeah, he let me be a jerk for, basically 35 years, a complete idiot, a monster, so that I could recognize these other things in other people. I didn't know that at the time.
Right.
Even when I came to Christ, I had no idea where all of this was going. I never dreamed of being a pastor. I was not a good student. When I learned later on that in order to be a pastor, you probably would have to go to a seminary.
Right.
Okay, that's not going to work because I didn't do well in college the first time around.
Right.
I don't know why I would do well this time, and it's going to be much, much harder. So that wasn't a viable option.
How tough was it for you, Darian, to go from really one extreme to where you are now, but the first couple years of learning to be Christ-like, how hard was that for you?
Dustin, that was as hard could be. Basically ignorance. When you're, I had the reputation at IBM of being ignorance on fire. that's what they used to say. He is ignorance on fire, which is better than knowledge on ice. Well, when you first come to Christ, you don't know much. And in one sense, that's fine. That's how we all start. But the idea is that we are to grow in grace and truth.
Yep.
And so we need to be discipled. Somebody needs to school us. And so you asked, how was that? Well, it was about 8.5 years of real hard. And I'm sure people that are listening have experienced this. I was trying to do what I thought was the right thing. I was trying hard not to drink anymore. I was trying not to look at porn. I was trying not to have illicit affairs with women. I was trying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was not succeeding, but I was trying. And this not succeeding part was driving me nuts. I'm trying to be this good person, and I can't be this good person. And then I finally realized that the Bible says, well, that's because you're not a good person. No one is righteous, no, not one. That would mean me. I realized that my identity had to be not in me doing good things, but in Christ who has already done the thing, which reconciled us to God, the idea of him dying on the cross. This means that you have to read the Word of God. Somebody has to help you understand what this means going forward, and that took about 8.5, 9 years.
And this is one of the things that we say at Seven Places all the time, Darren, is one guy can change your life forever. One guy. You spend 90 minutes every other week with one man as a brand new believer in Jesus. He will forever change your life. Could you speak on that?
Yeah, that is great wisdom right there. That is so true. And God has blessed me with several men like that at different stages of the process of my life. Even going back to, like I mentioned last week, the guy that was the navigator's guy that actually right. was the first guy that to actually present the gospel to me in a full way. But that was followed, 9 years later, I'm in the parking lot at Scottsdale Bible Church. I'm not a member there. I casually go there sometimes, going through a marriage that's going through a divorce. And I find out that my wife, who is messing around with another guy that said she wasn't doing that anymore, but now I got a call that said she was, and it happened to be on a Sunday, and I had made a decision, this is as far as I can go with this. And so I loaded up my 9mm and was on my way over to where they were at, and my intention was to shoot both of them and then shoot myself. Mm-hmm. And I stopped at Scottsdale Bible Church. Now, there wasn't anybody there. It was about 3:00 in the afternoon. I'm walking around in the back of that parking lot back there. There's only one car there. It's mine. And I'm doing something that I thought was prayer. It was basically me having a conversation with, this always bothered me about prayer. Who are you praying to? There's nobody there. How do you know anybody's listening?
Right.
And I'm walking around. I don't know if you're there, God, whoever you are, but, I'm going to do something really bad here unless you stop me. And I mean it. I'm going to do this. And as if God was going, oh, gosh, he's really threatening to do that. What can we possibly do? I mean, he says he's going to do this.
Right.
We're really stuck up here. Mm. Well, God did do something, and he did hear me, and he sent somebody in the parking lot, one of these men. That was Larry Roberts, who was an elder at the church at the time. And this is 1993, and Larry talked me out of what I was doing. He put me together with a couple other men, which led to a great relationship that I've had still to this day with a man named Jay Snyder. And mm-hmm. then Jay hooked me up with another man to help disciple me. His name was Larry Wright. And from that point on, things like you said, it changed everything.
It's amazing how when I was, for the first 33 years of my life, Darian, I mean, because I found my first porn magazine around 7 or 8. And I had no one to talk to. So, sexual sin isolates us, right? It gets
yes.
us away from everyone and everything. And then I start making my choices and my life decisions and how I treat people based on what I know through the sexual sin that I'm living through. And here I am completely alone, and I've got nobody, no one. And like you said, nobody knows really who I am, and I certainly can't tell you what's going on in my life because there's too much shame there.
Correct.
But when you get a guy, when you take that leap of faith and go, look, I'm struggling with this, and like you said at the break, there, sin is sin. Sin is a sin is a sin is a sin, right?
Yeah, we don't make categories of sin like some people talk about it that way, and I understand why they do that, but I don't think that's necessarily helpful to us. In other words, if I'm talking to somebody who's a homosexual, I don't make a big deal out of the idea that homosexuality is a sin. What I mean is it is a sin. We call it what it is. It's sin. But I don't make that sin like that's the worst sin in the whole wide world.
Right.
Like if you've done that, you're worse than me because all I ever did was get drunk and beat people to a pulp mm-hmm. and lie, cheat, and steal. That's those are nice sins compared to that. No, we don't do that. And I would not use the term, I mentioned this to you at the end of the last session, not with all due respect, I don't use the term addicted
right.
either.
Right.
And there's a reason, because I've been doing this now for 18 years and doing counseling for 18 years, and I know how people sometimes react to the word addicted. In a way, if you say that you're addicted, you're actually saying that you are a victim. You're a victim of something called the addiction. We're not victims of an addiction. We're victims, if you want to use the word, we're victims of sin.
Absolutely.
And we have a sin nature. It's not something that we did. It's something that we have. That's why we do it. We sin because we are sinners. And we start off as sinners. We're born sinners. We're born dead in our trespasses and sin. We don't sin and then become a sinner. I thought that we were neutral, that we're born neutral. And that, you know, you kind of just, if you do enough good things in life, that at the end of life, you'll be graded on how many good things versus how many bad things.
Yeah.
And you'll end up pretty good because if you, you know, God's going to grade on the curve and he'll, you know, he's a good God. He's a nice God. So, he, you know, no one's going to go to hell. Everybody's going to kind of come out okay at the end.
Right.
And you just add up those good things versus the bad. That's all fine and good until you find out, whoa, 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 there is no good in you. You're not a good person. You don't do good things. They're not good as far as God is concerned because he's the measurement of good. And what he's calling for is perfect good, perfect righteousness, no mistakes ever. Zero.
And that's a hard pill to swallow because that comes right out of Romans, the book of Romans, right? And you're absolutely right. I absolutely agree, Darian. When we start playing the victim card, well, of course I'm an addict. Look at me. I can't help but be an addict because it's who I am. But what you just said, Darian, is if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are no longer an addict. You are an adopted child of Almighty God.
Yeah, which is better?
Right.
Yeah, you know, I'm a real black and white person, like you said. So for me personally, I need to know what is the right thing. I want to do what is right. Okay, so I need to learn what is right. So we have this other motto that we use it on Tuesday night. What do you do when you come on Tuesday night? Well, you come there to learn what is right so you can do what is right because it's right. That means you need to learn God's word so that you can be in God's will for God's glory. If that's the case, you'll be equipped to do the right thing the right way for the right reasons. So these little threes that we put together, these series of threes, learn what is right so you can do what is right because it's right, God's word, God's will, God's glory, so you can be equipped to do the right thing the right way for the right reason. The reason that I've got that memorized is because I have been telling myself this for 18 years. I need to learn what is right. Right is what directs us. Wrong will direct us too, but it leads to a path of destruction. What do you want, destruction or life? Do you want death or life?
Right, absolutely.
Jesus says, I've come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. But your life is a dead life, and we need to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. That's what Paul says in Romans 6. And we need to understand that God's grace is how we receive it and how we live it. Not by necessarily doing everything perfect. It's Christ who did everything perfect. He is our righteousness. It's not a righteousness that we have of our own self. It's something that we've been given. So Jesus died for us so that Christ could live within us.
Pastor Darian Bennett with Scottsdale Bible Church, the pastor of men's ministry, is my guest. And you, what you explained there, Darian, was just this journey. We're not going to do everything perfectly, but we can learn how to do these things in an increasing manner.
Yeah, we need to learn what is right. We need to be real clear on what is right and what is wrong. Most guys that I've worked with, and you're one of them, is basically, if you can't get what is right, then you're only going to keep doing what is wrong.
Absolutely.
So at some point, somebody's got to put a line down the middle of the page and say, okay, this is right on this side of the line, and this is wrong. And God's word does that for us. It's the plumb line of truth.
This is the standard, whether we understand it fully, whether we believe it fully.
We don't understand it fully, but we need to do what you said. We need to grow in our understanding. Mm-hmm. The Bible says grow in grace and truth. Let this abound in you. And it needs to become more and more and more. And the only way that will happen is by surrendering your life to Christ, to let the Spirit of God work in you in a way that begins to sanctify you, set you apart, consecrate you. And it will mean that you will stop doing one thing and start doing other things.
Yeah, absolutely. We just can't, especially when it comes to sexual sin, we just can't stop doing this one thing over here.
Yeah, we would like to.
Sure.
We'd like to make it that easy. I'm just going to decide today that I'm not going to do it anymore. Okay, good luck with that. It's a sin pattern that's inside of you. And the Bible gives us instructions. We need to put off that kind of pattern. Now, the way that Larry helped me in that, he said, put off the past, people, places, and things connected to the desires of your flesh. So the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all these things that would turn me in the opposite direction of the cross, he said those things need to be identified and they need to be put off. That was really hard.
And that's one of the major things that we talk about at Seven Places, Darian. It put off the people, the places, and the things. Turn around, like God's word says, and put on what? What do we put on? We put on kindness and love and mercy.
All these new people,
grace,
places, and things in Christ Jesus. That's it. That if a person will, and by the way, going back to something else, you need somebody in your life.
Absolutely. Amen.
To help you along that path, because
we don't know.
We don't know.
We have no clue how to live this life without Almighty God showing us through screwed up people like you and me and the other mentors that have poured their lives into ours, right?
Yes, exactly. And I can tell you this, there's one who does not want you to be able to turn. And that's the devil himself. Mm. He does not want you to be in the hands of Christ. And it angers him. There's no one in this world who is hated and despised more than a child of God. Someone who has been born again by God and belongs to Christ, who died on the cross for them and has pardoned them and bought them and now belongs to him, that infuriates the devil more than anything whatsoever. Because apart from Christ, you can do nothing, the Bible says. And apart from Christ, you belong to someone. You belong to the devil himself.
And it's not going to, this journey with Jesus, especially when it comes to sexual purity and sexual integrity, is not going to be easy, and it's not intended to be easy, right,
no.
Darian?
No, this is, it's not easy in the sense that we would want it to be easy, like do five steps and you're
yeah, give me seven quick steps to sexual purity.
And you're in. No.
Yeah.
But it's not as hard as you would think in other ways, because the Holy Spirit has empowered you to do these things. But you must know these things. You must say yes to that. Yes, I want the Holy Spirit to drive my life. Yes, I want to be compelled by the love of Christ to do the things that glorify God. Yes, and mainly it goes back to what I said last week. It's all about Jesus, 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 the way, the truth, and the life.
God has set us free through his son Jesus and the blood that was shed on this Roman wooden cross. And yet we have to do our part as well, especially when it comes to sexual sin. And God's word is very clear. He says, flee. Turn around. You can't even, don't even think about it. And that's where we start, correct?
Right. Well, the fleeing, once again, it's back to what you said before. I need someone who's saying the things that you're saying to me, because I can get so twisted up in a knot with these things that I can't see straight.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment that I'm with my mentor or one of the people that I'm working with, that puts me right back in the right framework. And I need to be walking that line with God every day.
Pastor Darian Bennett with Scottsdale Bible Church. Pastor Darian, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
It can't be over, is it?
It is. We've only got a minute or so left. And I just want to thank you. Scottsdale Bible Church, Tuesday nights, men's ministry.
6:30
on the campus there.
Yep.
6:30 to 8:30. 200-plus men.
250-something men.
Please join them. Scottsdale Bible Church. Scottsdale Road and Miller, correct?
Correct.
Thank you so much, sir. This is a listener-supported broadcast. If you do need help, visit sevenplaces.org. There is a free online community. Please sign up. Like Pastor Darian said, we cannot do this alone. And maybe the first step is joining that community. You can also find out some more information on the local support groups that we do have around the country. Make sure you like us on Facebook, download the latest episodes on iTunes, and follow us on Twitter at Purity Pastor. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Dustin Daniels Show. We pray that this radio program has helped you with the challenges that you are facing in your life. We are a listener-supported ministry. To make a donation or for resources that were mentioned on today's program, please visit Seven Places Ministry at sevenplaces.org. That's S-E-V-E-N places.org. The Dustin Daniels Show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering professional counseling advice that pertains to your personal situation. Since the details of your situation are fact-dependent, we suggest you seek the services of a competent, Christ-based counseling professional.